Pastor Chris.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, church. Good morning. Hope you all had blessed holidays. You have blessed holidays? Yeah, New Year's, Christmas. I know for many, the holidays are a time of joy, and for many, the holidays are a time of grief or sadness, especially if we've lost someone. And so regardless of whether it's joy or grief, I do hope that it was blessed, that you experienced the power and the presence of the Lord in your own heart and in your family, that you allowed him to enter into that space with you. I did have in my devotions this week, this word that I just wanted to share with you, you know, that just, he's just put it on my heart like, man, we get tired, don't we? And when we get tired, it's hard for us to just continue to go after him and care about him. And we need to be like reignited in our spirits. And I feel like that's kind of the world right now, needs reignition. And so hear this word from the Lord out of Isaiah. I'm not preaching, this is a freebie. Out of Isaiah this morning, it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths will grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." Are you allowing the Lord to renew your strength every day? "They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." I believe that that is God's will for his church. And so that, like I said, that was a freebie this morning, but what I actually want to read to you is out of Luke chapter 4. And so please turn to Luke chapter 4 this morning. We'll start in verse 14 and go through verse 21. I will not be preaching out of this passage, but I will use it as a springboard into what we need to talk about this morning. And so Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Please follow along while I read. It says, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Will you pray with me? Father, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we come to you. God, and we confess we have a single longing here in this place, and that is your presence. Your presence to be powerfully with us, your presence in our life. God, your presence renewing us day by day and igniting us. Father, it's like Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. It would be pointless. And so that is what we seek. Father, ready our hearts to hear your message this morning. Ready this church, God, to be unified in a new season. But God, we love you. Above all else, we love you and we want to be your disciples. And so teach us how to do that well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The new year is often a time of new beginnings. And for our church this year, probably doubly so. We have been looking forward to our congregational meeting at the end of the month. We've been talking about this pastoral transition for several years now and preparing for that. And so in many ways, we are looking at the new year as a church, as a new chapter, a new beginning. Not in the sense of abandoning everything that was old, like we make New Year's resolutions. We don't abandon everything that we've been doing the previous year. But it is a time for us to start afresh or to reprioritize or become healthier in some areas. And so our series this January will be in preparation for the upcoming transition in leadership. I've titled it A New Direction, a renewed direction. And a renewed direction because I want to emphasize it's not a new direction. Okay? Dana has been leading us faithfully and biblically for the last several decades. And we wanted to continue in that work. However, we're also going to do some things different and new and renewed and reprioritized with a renewed focus or momentum. And so over the last year, myself, Dana, the leadership here at PCC, we have been preparing for this transition. And as part of this process, we have rewritten our mission and vision statements, as well as we've come up with a new set of values that will guide everything that we do. And so the purpose of our series through January is to present these things to you so that we're all on the same page, that we know who we are. That's our mission. That's our identity as a church. And we all know where we're going. That's our vision, our short-term priorities. And we also know why we're going there. That's our values, the reasons behind what we do. And so today we're talking about our renewed mission, our renewed mission. Leslie Newbegin, in his book, Mission in Christ's Way, he writes this. He says, mission is not a burden laid upon the church. It is a gift and a promise to the church that is faithful. The command arises from the gift. Jesus reigns and has and all authority has been given to him on earth and in heaven. When we understand that, we shall not need to be told to let it be known. Rather, we shall not be able to keep silent. I love that. Mission is a gift and a promise to the church that is faithful. And as a church, we have a mission. Why? Because God is on mission. And that mission is described in many ways in many different churches. And they're all good. They're all fine. But we have decided to describe it here at this church as the word renewal. And so our new mission is this: renewing people through an encounter with Christ and the power of the gospel. Renewing people through an encounter with Christ and the power of the gospel. To renew is to give fresh life to. To renew is to give strength to. To renew is to revive and to replace something that is broken or worn out. That's renewal. And so we're going to break this down this morning into three parts, but I want you to write this down. God desires every person to be continually renewed by him. God desires every person to be continually renewed by him. Now, when we talk about salvation, we talk about like a one-time renewal, a heart made new, the stone becoming flesh, a new life, things being replaced. The old is gone, the new has come. But the truth is, that's one part of it. But the journey continues. And every day, God desires to renew us more and more. Sin is more pervasive and runs deeper than we even give it credit for. And God wants to continually renew us into his image. God is deeply concerned with the renewal of the individual because the truth is, because of sin, every person needs to be renewed. Dead spirits need to be made alive to God. Sin's strongholds need to be torn down and replaced. Broken marriages and broken relationships, they need to be restored. The weary need to be refreshed. The sick need to find healing. The desperate need to find hope. God desires self to be replaced with servanthood. God desires hostility to give way to love. God desires doubt to be replaced by trust. Fear needs to be replaced by assurance. And disbelief needs to be replaced by faith. David says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Too often do we buy into the theology that God saves, but he doesn't really change. Or that our ability to become better is based on how well we can play the game or do the dance. Or that Christian living is simply my will choosing to live differently than I actually want to. Religion, it's a word that evangelicals hate, religion. But guys, religion is man's devotion to a powerless God. That's what religion is. Man's devotion to a powerless God. Simply serving a God who never shows up and cannot bring about real change, or just wants some sort of intellectual adherence to the fact that he exists. But listen, that is not the God that I read about in the Bible. That's not him. The God that I read about, he forgives sin, But not only does He forgive, He heals disease. He injects life, rewrites identity, satisfies desire, so that you and I are actually and powerfully changed. Psalm 103, David says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed? There's a life that's returned to you. There's a vigor that's returned to you like the eagles. Renewal. A renewal which comes not by conformed practices. You just have to do these things. A renewal which comes not by theological assents. You just need to believe these things. A renewal which comes not from communal pressure. You need to be like us. But a renewal that comes from a genuine encounter with Christ. Number two, genuine renewal only comes through a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Renewing people through an encounter with Christ. Guys, the church has put a lot of time and effort into knowing about God. And we should. Knowing about God is a great thing. It's a good thing. We need to know. We should know about God. We should have good theology. We should know right from wrong, truth from error, good from evil. But power comes not simply from knowing about God. Power comes from an encounter with God. In the gospel, there's this story about a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. She's tried to fix herself. She's tried all the things she knows. She's tried to change. She's tried to heal herself. The Gospel of Mark says it this way. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. And yet instead of getting better, she got worse. And I wonder how many of us have lived this story. Where we've been struggling with something in our lives for years and years, trying everything that we can think of, spending ourselves in every way, doing everything we can to beat it or change it or stop it, and it's not working. And I want you to look at verse 27. Look at what it says. It says, when she heard about Jesus. You see, somebody told her about Jesus. She heard about this guy who could bring renewal and healing and revival, and she heard about him. But I want you to see that did not change her. Simply knowing about Jesus did not bring about the change and the healing in her life that she so desperately needed. She needed the real life power and presence of God. And so she thought to herself, if I can go touch him, then I will be healed. If I can get to him, if I can lay hold of him, if I can experience him, that is where my genuine renewal comes. And beloved, the same is true of you and me. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. And he wants us to lay hold of it. He wants us to experience his genuine renewal in our lives, but genuine change only comes from genuine encounter with him. C.S. Lewis provides this beautiful picture in his book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Any C.S. Lewis fans here? C.S. Lewis? Yeah? All right. Love C.S. Lewis. So he says this. One of the characters, Eustace, he had become a dragon. Only his problem was he didn't want to be a dragon because he was a boy. But through his own choices, he was now trapped as a dragon. And try as he might to get his dragon scales off, he could not do it. They just kept growing back. They kept him in bondage. He could not change or free himself. And so he became hopeless, resigned to the fact that he would forever be a dragon. That is, until he had a genuine encounter with Aslan, the lion, the Christ figure in the books. And he's recounting the story of this encounter to his cousin Edmund here, and he says, "I looked up and I saw the very last thing that I expected, a huge lion coming toward me. I was terribly afraid of it. I wasn't afraid of it eating me. I was just afraid of it, if you can understand. Well, it came up close to me and it looked straight into my eyes and I shut my eyes tight, but that didn't do me any good because he told me to follow it. You mean it spoke? Well, I don't know. But now that you mention it, I don't think it did, but it told me all the same. And I knew that I'd have to do what it told me, so I got up and followed it, and it led me a long way into the mountains, and there was a garden and trees and fruit and everything, and in the middle there was a well. And the water was clear as anything, and I thought that if I can just get in there and bathe, that it would ease the pain in my leg, but the lion told me that I must undress first. And so I started scratching myself, and the scales began coming off all over the place. Just as I was going to put my feet in the water, I looked down and I saw that they were all hard and rough and wrinkled and scaly, just as they had been before. And the lion said, and I don't know if it spoke, but it said, "You'll have to let me undress you." And I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate now, and so I lay flat down on my back to let him do it. And the very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right to my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything that I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. Edmund said, "I know exactly what you mean." You see, Edmund too had encountered Aslan. And Eustace continues, he says, "Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I had thought I'd done the other three times, only that hadn't hurt. But there lying on the grass, there it was, lying on the grass, now only so much thicker and darker and more knobbly looking than others had been. And there I was, as smooth and soft as a peeled switch and smaller than I had been. And then he caught hold of me. I didn't like that much, for I was tender underneath, now that I had no skin on, and he threw me into the water, and it smarted like anything, but only for a moment. And after that, it became perfectly delicious. As soon as I started swimming and splashing around, I found that all my pain had gone from my arm. And then I saw why. I had turned into a boy again." Beloved, have you allowed Christ to descale you? Have you allowed Jesus to cleanse and to transform you? God desires to take our sin away, but He also desires to renew us through His cleansing power so that we become who He created us to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." Titus 3, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior." Colossians 3, "You have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge." It's the Greek word epignosis. It means a true, genuine knowing, a laying hold of, an encounter with. So my spirit is being renewed in the knowledge, that genuine encounter with God, and it's being made in His image. I know spouses who have desired a life of cheating and adultery, who have encountered God and been freed from their bondage. I know I've heard testimony of women and men who have gone through incredibly long-term traumatic physical and mental abuse, who have encountered Christ and experienced healing and found hope again. My whole life is a testimony of how God exposes sin and idolatry in order to deal with it and in its place create something new and healthy. Guys, this is the work and power of God. Renewing people through an encounter with Christ and the power of the gospel. So God desires every person to be continuously renewed by Him. Genuine renewal only comes through a personal encounter with Christ. And then number three, the only way that people come to Jesus to be renewed is the power of the gospel. The only way people come The only way people understand that they need to be renewed is the power of the gospel. Listen, the gospel must be preached. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then also to the Greek." The gospel, guys, it's a bold message. Why? Because it exposes our sin and our need for Jesus. It tells us that we're broken. It tells us that we're not right. But we're not ashamed of preaching the gospel. The gospel is a saving message because it is the only thing that can truly transform or reform the human heart. You see, we cannot scrape off our own scales. We might be able to adapt our actions for a while, but that's not true change. The gospel is the only thing that can bring reform to the human heart. The gospel is a universal message. Why? Because God offers His salvation and His renewal to all people. And yet at the same time, it is also an exclusive message. Because salvation and renewal can only be found in Jesus Christ. He is the one that takes away our sins. It is a gift of God which we need to receive by faith. Have you received the gift this morning? Finally, the gospel is a powerful message. It's a powerful message because it is God's good news. Those who are lost are found. Those who are hopeless now have hope. Those who are lifeless have found life eternal. And it's God's offer of love and hope to the world. The gospel is good news. It's good news because in Christ there is no condemnation. Guys, listen, the gospel, it's the power of God. And that power, the power of God, it is sufficient to empower anyone for victorious living. Let me say that again. The gospel is the power of God. And that power of God is sufficient to empower anyone to victorious living. The question is, do we believe it? Do we believe that God is powerful in our own lives? Do we believe that God can bring about renewal in us? Do we believe that God can bring about renewal in our neighbors? Do we believe that? I came across this quote this week by a fellow pastor, Pastor Rod W. Larkins. He's an author, evangelist, and the founder of Well City Church in Houston, Texas. He's got this incredible ministry down there. He provides food and clothing and other resources for the homeless and impoverished and elderly communities there. But he says it this way, and I love this. He says, the gospel is not a message of words, but an invitation to encounters. The gospel is not a message of words. It's not simply me trying to convince you that God is real or that you need Jesus. The gospel is an invitation to come experience Him for yourself. That's the gospel. And that's what we go after every day in our own faith. Renewing people through an encounter with Christ and the power of the gospel. We believe in the power of Christ to renew and restore, revive, heal, sanctify, and save. Because the truth is, guys, if He doesn't, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. We believe that God is not only alive, but that He's moving. We believe in God's power to bring about change and healing. I love 1 Corinthians 4:20. Paul says, for the kingdom of God, it does not consist in words, but in power. If all we had here at this church was words, we would not bring God to people. People would not, could not be changed. The kingdom of God consists not in words, but in power. And so that's the mission. To bring people to Jesus through the power of the gospel so that we can be renewed. Will you pray with me? Father, I recognize that this is not a simple message. Because, God, we love seven-step processes that just say you need to do this, 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 and this, and then you'll be right with me. And it's messy because sometimes we go after you and we don't experience you. But, God, I also confess that if you don't move and if you're not real, why are we here? And so, God, we pray and we ask for you to come and move in powerful ways in this place and in our lives, that when we come, we worship a living God who is powerful and able and moving. And we are stirred by that, and that fire is reunited in our veins. And I pray for faith, that we can take the message of the gospel, that we can believe in its power to draw people toward yourself. Will it be rejected? Yes, but they're not rejecting us. They are rejecting you. You call us to be disciples. You call us to live lives of faith, and that's what we want to be here in this church. We are going to go after you, Lord, to be conformed to your image, to be transformed in the renewing of our mind, and to really believe that you can and will move in powerful ways in others and in us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. It's what we long for. God, it's what we need. And we pray these things in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's ready our hearts.